If you are very happy about very windy days, this is going to be your day. You're going to be totally tickled and pleased. Somebody's trying to call. I mean, the timing couldn't be better. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How do you feel about having a colonoscopy just for a preventative measure?
A colonoscopy is when they cut a hole in your colon and they put a bag on there because they don't want you eliminating your waste through your rectal area. But if you're referring to a colonoscopy, that's going to be a screening test.
Yes.
How many different screening tests do they have right now? They have a DEXA test to screen you to see if you have osteoporosis of your hips or your spine. They have mammograms, which they use x-rays or radiation to see if there's any lesions in the breast for the purpose of trying to prevent breast cancer or identify it early. A colonoscopy, in my opinion, is probably one of the very best screening tests done, because in doing so, a very well-trained surgeon or gastroenterologist, they can determine if you have precancerous polyps, they can determine if you have diverticuli, so they can find some hidden things that you may not be aware of. I think it's probably one of the best tests of all.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, because I'm supposed to go, I think, every 5 years or anything, but I also heard you say that every time they put you to sleep, that could cause Alzheimer's or whatever, so I thought, well, I would ask.
Well, but what I was getting at is there's a lot of risk associated with putting a person under anesthesia, and sometimes the anesthesiologist, meaning always, they just don't explain to you what the potential risk is. And I know a lot of people that have just never been the same. You don't really even have to be a brilliant researcher. Just ask everybody that's had a medical procedure where they've been under for a while and ask them, you know, do you have any side effects? And, boy, you can get a lot of conversation out of that.
Okay.
So even if you're given the option of when you have a colonoscopy, say, what is the lightest form of anesthesia you can use, or can you give me like a Valium and give me a light anesthetic instead of the deep stuff? And maybe you'll just be kind of sort of in, sleepy time, but you just, you know, not all the way with deep anesthesia. But I don't want it.
Okay. One more thing, let me ask you. a lot of times my voice, I have to clear it a lot. Or if I sing, I start coughing. What can I do about that?
How much sugar do you eat?
Oh,
never mind. Let's change the topic.
There are some
foods that when we eat them, they're very, very mucus-forming foods. And sugar is probably the top of the list. But I can tell you one thing that you can try, lemon juice and apple cider vinegar, water, sometimes gargling with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. Those are things that increase breakdown of mucus. See, mucus is there to help trap and bind waste and toxins, whether it's infection. So you can just try gargling with just a little bit of dilution of apple cider vinegar. But if you sip on lemon juice and drink it, you may find that actually it's a very good solvent to help dissolve and break up the excess mucus.
Okay.
I'm sorry for stepping on your toes earlier. I don't even know what I was thinking of going down that road. Please forgive me.
Well, since I have been listening to you, I have tried my best to watch that sugar much closer. So,
well, that's good. You're trending in the right direction. Way to go.
Listen, we appreciate you. Appreciate your program. Thank you.
Oh, you're so kind.
Much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a great day, please.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving also. This program is called Health Essentials. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I find myself very, very attracted to quotes from older physicians. Very attractive to me. Let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
I have a question really quick. In 2015, I had papillary thyroid cancer and had surgery and had it removed. And for 2 years...
Did they give you radiation treatments also?
No.
Okay.
And for 2 years, since then, I've been on L-thyroxine tablets from 175 milligrams to 150 to 125, and now I'm on 112 MCGs. And and I, the other day, I went for my six-month checkup, and the doctor wanted me to have some tumor markers and a scan to see if the cancer has returned.
Yeah, see, they never told you that thyroxine taking it long-term has a 200% increased risk of developing cancer.
No, they didn't.
No, they don't.
And you had told me that I need to take that Armour thyroid, and I tried to get them to give me that, and they won't do it.
Well, just change doctors.
Okay, what doctor should I go to?
Anyone that'll give it to you.
Okay.
Simple as that. Or it could be very simply, if you go to a doctor's office where there's a very caring, understanding, enlightened nurse practitioner, she might say, okay, let's either look at Nature Thyroid or Armour Thyroid. But I would rather you, if your thyroid, I'm sorry, let me start over. If you need some type of thyroid hormone replacement therapy, I'm not arguing against that, because if your thyroid is not able to work, you're going to need hormone replacement therapy.
Yes.
But I would rather you take something that would actually benefit your health. Because,
yes,
you know, as much as I know about you, you are interested in being productive.
Yes.
And you want to be healthy and strong, and you want to use your talents glorifying God. And
exactly.
who can argue against that?
That's
so
right.
You're just going to have to switch to somebody that's going to help you and not work against you. I mean, I don't know how to, see, I'm not emotionally attached to this conversation at all. I'm just thinking of it very logically. Would I want somebody to insist on prescribing me a drug that's going to increase my risk of developing cancer in my body? Or mm-hmm. do I want to take a drug that's not?
Right.
It's just as simple as that. There's no
right.
emotions at all.
That's right. It has to do with life and death, you know. You know.
Well, if I had my wish, yeah, that's my plot for you to be healthy and radiant and strong.
Right. So. Anyway, she told me this because it was it's been since 2015 since I had, you know, had the cancer removed, and everything was fine. I do sonograms, they're fine. But then I went to this since 2015's first time she wanted to give me a tumor marker. So they wanted to do it over the holidays. I said no, because you have to go about 4 weeks without your thyroid medicine. And then I said, well, I don't want to be weak on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I made it for the last of January. You have to be off of this for 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, why can't they just raise the dosage if it's low?
Well, I don't know that I can answer that question for you. I don't have your lab test in front of me. But here's what I would say. The dose of 150 milligrams to 175, that's a big-time megadose.
Right.
So I mean, that's just huge.
They lowered it to 112, and I do fine. I have energy and everything else.
Right. Well, there is a term that's used in pharmacology and medicine called the minimum effective dose. Why would I want to give somebody 400 milligrams of Nexium if they only need 2 milligrams?
Right.
So it's the same principle. Anytime that you start going overboard with thyroid hormones, you run the risk of causing things like osteoporosis, weakening the immune system. Anyway, there's a whole lot with that. But yeah, the least amount that you have to take to get the benefit is what you're after and what you're for.
Right.
And then the first thing we talked about is, if you're going to take a hormone replacement therapy, why don't we take something that doesn't have a risk of developing cancer, like Armour Thyroid?
Yes. Well, I will just call every endocrinologist I know.
No, don't do that. Don't even waste your time. What you need to do is do what I said. Call a nurse practitioner and see if you can have a relationship with her. And, I mean, personally, I am very, very fond of nurse practitioners, because I feel like that they come to the table with a clean spoon. And, man, I just shudder to think what would happen to hospitals if it weren't for nurses.
Exactly.
I would be terrified to have doctors take care of me.
Exactly.
I don't have any reason.
Oh, man, I have more stories than you can shake a stick at from people that run hospitals that tell me how the cow eats the cabbage, and I believe them. Anyway,
I do too.
So just do something as simple as that right there. If you can just look up a clinic that maybe is run by a nurse practitioner, just state your case to her. And in the meantime, start Googling articles on taking levothyroxine or Synthroid and the occurrence of cancer and complications down the road. So you've already built your case and say, listen, I'm not asking much. I know I need hormone replacement therapy. What about Armour Thyroid or WP Thyroid or Nature Thyroid?
Nature Thyroid. Nature Thyroid.
Yeah, okay. And there's one called WP Thyroid. But if you can take a look at either Armour or Nature Thyroid, something similar to that.
Right.
You're just looking for a natural source, and yes, it probably comes from a sheep or a cow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked the doctor about that. Oh, no, we can't follow it real good, that other kind. We have to have the L-theroxine.
Yes, and I understand the logic behind it. They're just making it very easy on them, but there's consequences for taking it. And I would say I would put your health and your vitality above any stupid little comments about how to follow it. I just find that utterly ridiculous. Sorry.
I shouldn't have used the S word.
That's a bad word. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, what about the papillary thyroid? When they told me I had that cancer, that's not bad. That's easy, you know.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of over-diagnosis of thyroid cancer. It's just changes in the papillary tissue, but it's not really cancer. But they call it cancer, even though it's not.
Well, so I had the whole thyroid removed. Why is it coming back? I don't know the answer to that.
Other than has she done some cancer? Were you trying to say they have done some cancer markers?
No, they never have before.
Well, I can tell you this. One of the tidbits of information that I was going to read on the radio this morning was back from the 1950s, and they're showing that what do cancer cells like more than anything else? They like sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why anytime there's a, you have to understand, cancer is always a secondary disease. It's never primary. The tissues have to be sufficiently weakened, and you've got to be nutritionally deficient for cancer even to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thyroid, I mean, even the article that I read on the radio a couple weeks ago shows that women that sit at a desk all day long, and if all the doctor does is give them zinc, then all of a sudden their thyroids improve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the use of nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And I've been taking a lot of zinc.
Well, and it's probably one of the most purposeful, good things you're doing. There's got to be something good that's happening in your body. But, yes, if I had my way, I really need to see blood sugar closer to 89.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be ridiculous. Maybe our first goal is if we can hit 100 for morning fasting blood sugar, you're going to fare a lot better than if it was 145.
Right. Okay.
So just consider that, please.
I will, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God
bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think this comes from the year 1951. Dr. J.R. Davidson, M.D. I'm just going to quote him. He says, I decided to make the assumption that cancer was a deficiency disease, and to follow this line of research wherever it might lead me. See, he's open-minded. And I'm going back to Dr. Davidson's quote. In 10 years of experiments with white mice, it is possible to observe cancer in rapid development during several generations, a thing which could not be done in the case of human patients, meaning he's not going to take three generations of human beings and try to make them develop cancer just so they can be guinea pigs. But mice, that's okay. Back to the mice. Dr. Davidson goes on to write, one strain of mice I fed on a diet of high vitamin content, and guess what happened? The fourth generation of all these mice that were bred to have cancer, they were perfectly fine. And they were healthy animals with no trace of cancer whatsoever. And he goes on to write further. Dr. Davidson makes the other comment that another strain of mice I fed on a very poor diet, and at the end of the fourth generation, I succeeded in developing a strain of mice with 100% cancer. And then taking the offspring of this strain, I fed them a high vitamin diet and eventually developed a strain which would resist cancer. Isn't that interesting? This established to my satisfaction that cancer is directly dependent on diet. It comes from cancer, a nutritional deficiency. And, of course, that was reprinted by the Lee Foundation for Nutritional Research, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, volume number 3, which I know you want to look that up. Now, you know what? The reason you might want to pay attention to this information is, what if, I'm not saying your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and all your ancestors and family lineage that's gone on before you, I'm not comparing them to mice that are bred to have cancer. I'm just asking you to make a consideration that anytime you have a family history of a health problem, maybe you ought to kind of play to that weakness or focus on trying to improve it. So if he can take mice and he can breed the cancer out of them by giving them good nutrition, well, maybe that should be a consideration that you should hold and let it swirl around in your head and just consider that. So whatever you have that you don't like, well, you're going to have nutrition to fix it. Now, here's another quote right here. The gentleman's name is Alexander Berglas, B-E-R-G-L-A-S. He's a member of the Cancer Research Foundation of the Pasteur Institute, which means he's one smart dude. Dr. Berglas writes, anything which serves as a constant irritation is capable of causing cancer. Folks, you don't have to overthink this. If they have discovered a small hidden patch of cancer in the lower sigmoid colon or rectum, folks, come on, there's something that's irritating that patch of tissue, and it could be as simple as a low-grade infection. All right. Dr. Berglas of the Pasteur Institute says, well, and I'm quoting him, irritation and deficiency factors will cause the regulatory mechanisms to fail. If your daily habit is to drink Diet Cokes all day long, and because it's easy, you just take a slice of white bread and you eat that for your lunch, and you polish it off with a Hershey's candy bar, is there really any nutritional quality? Is that called a high vitamin diet? Does it have anything that can help keep your brain in good working order or your heart? Well, the answer is no. All right, here's another one. I like this one very, very much. Now, this is a quote from Dr. Quigley, D.T. Quigley, not Quigley Down Under, which I thought was an awesome movie. Anyway, I could watch that show over and over. I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, but Quigley. Anyway, Dr. Quigley, M.D. of Omaha, Nebraska, a cancer specialist. You know what? Sometimes it's interesting what people comment on. So this is his job, taking care of those that have cancer. This is his quote. I find it very, very interesting. So listen to this. Dr. Quigley says, one of the few things we do know at the present time about cancer is that it is a disease which follows another disease. It is never primary, but always secondary. It never grows on healthy tissues, but it always grows on previously diseased tissues. There might be a golden message in here somewhere. The part of a body, and I'm just continuing Dr. Quigley's quote, the part of the body on which a cancer grows has a special soil on which the invader finds a favorable environment. If the soil is not prepared in advance, the cancer simply cannot and will not take root and grow. whether the immediate cause of the cancer may be ultimately found to be a virus, a fungus, a bacillus, which is a fancy word for a bacteria. What is a virus, fungus, and bacteria? Those are infections, folks. Dr. Quigley also says, or a chemical compound. It makes little difference in the question of prevention. The important fact is that the diseased area on which the cancer finds its suitable soil must not be allowed to exist. By the prevention of locally diseased areas in the body, we may prevent cancer. If you have cancer that grows in the thyroid, what does that tell you? That tells you the conditions in the soil is right for cancer to take hold. Now, I'm going back to 1949. This is another quote, right? Or actually, this is interesting right here. Just let this swirl around your brain. All I'm doing is I'm presenting information to you, and you have to decide what you feel like is true, because all these therapies that just, quote, kill the cancer or try to modulate the immune system, kids, you have got to learn how to develop healthy soil in your body. If you don't do that, then you'll start to discover the hard way why almost all therapies fail. This is 1949. Let me see. How long ago was that? What is 2000 minus 1949? That's 51 years. What's 51 and 17? There we go. 68. Long time ago. In 1949, Dr. Quigley showed many slides at a meeting of the American Academy of Applied Nutrition of patients of his before and after surgical removal of cancer. Now, what caught my attention when I read this is he did not say after 34 radiation treatments or after 17 rounds of highly intensive chemotherapeutics. No, he's just saying surgical removal. And based on what he just said, all he's doing is removing the diseased tissue. Anyway, Dr. Quigley showed these slides at a meeting of the American Academy of Applied Nutrition of patients before and after surgical removal of cancer. He said that in over 30 years of experience, when you hear this, you're going to say this is impossible. Anyway, I'm quoting him. In his 30 years of experience in treating cancer, not one of his patients who had followed his dietary recommendations had recurrences of cancer. All right. This one is interesting also. Dr. Harry Rubin from the University of California Virology Laboratory. He feels like, and this is his opinion he's expressing, that in the war against cancer, it just may not be popular. But, you know, the truth is the truth. He says, Dr. Harry Rubin said that it's more practical to build up the body resistance and defenses against cancer than to fight it. And the quote comes from June 1961. This week, on the way to work, I listened to a segment on the John Batchelor Show off a YouTube lecture. I didn't watch it, I just listened to it. I think that's a good use of my time. But they were looking at studies going back to, you know, all the raw data going back to the year 1968. And guess what, folks? There has been zero improvement in longevity or lifespan or health since 1968. You really think they're winning the war? Whatever you want to call it? You interpret it however you want. But there's been no improvement since they started keeping records in 1968. Do you think that just all of a sudden now people are magically living, you know, 20 years longer than what they did in 1968? No. Anyway, so we have a individual by the name of Dr. Rubin that says it is more practical in the war against cancer to build up the body resistance. All he's saying is improve the soil of the body. Can you do that with chemotherapy? Absolutely not. Can you do it with real nutrition? Yes, you can. And that's twofold. You cut out the junk that's just pure poison to the body. You know what that is. I had a man that came to see me, and he tried to spend 30 minutes explaining that he never had ever heard that sugar was bad for you or junk food could be harmful. He thought it was good food. Well, okay, all right, maybe he hasn't. But when I checked his address, he doesn't live in the Antarctica or Mars. Here's the quote again from Dr. D.T. Quigley. And I just mentioned him, whose patients had no recurrence of cancer, provided they followed his dietary advice. And he agreed that the best way to prevent cancer is to build up the body defenses through excellent nutrition. In this way, the tissues, cells, and organs are kept in such a healthy state that, in his opinion, cancer could not take hold. Now, folks, this is not the thrust of medical research right now. No. Nutrition? No. It's about drugs that cost a whole lot of money. Anyway, I may be a little bit cynical, or maybe I'm very, very, maybe I'm living in reality and I'm very pragmatic. It's very, very easy when there's a lot of money involved to just downright lie about the outcome of studies. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. In this way, the tissue, cells, and the organs are kept in such a healthy state that, in his opinion, cancer cannot take hold. His dietary advice, you're probably wondering what he recommended, is to absolutely avoid all refined, synthetic, and processed foods. Well, what does that tell you? What does that leave? Real food. Dr. Quigley also banned his patients that were cancer-free from eating white flour or any enriched fortified foods, white sugar, and foods with chemical additives. What did he recommend? Natural foods, whole foods, vegetables, fruits, generous amounts of protein, raw certified instead of pasteurized milk, whole grains, plus all the known vitamins and minerals. Dr. Quigley wrote, and I'm going to quote him, "A return to normal food alone will never bring health up to a normal standard. To make up for past dietary sins, you know exactly what I'm referring to, concentrated vitamins should be taken for 6 months to 2 years." I just really dig the way he quoted it. To make up for past dietary sins. I don't have to explain that to you. You know already that in the past you have done things that have not been great for your body. He said vitamins should be taken for 6 months to 2 years in order that the individual may reach a point where, with his reserve restored, he can carry on with just a balanced diet. And that's the very thing that's hard to convince people. You're going to have to work at this for a couple of years to rebuild your reserves. It is essential. Well, you can tell me all day long you don't like swallowing pills. Well, do you like swallowing chemotherapy better? Just make your choice. One builds the body, one tears it down. It is essential that the concentrate contain all the vitamins, both known and unknown. For this reason, no synthetic preparation can completely replace the vitamins in which the average person may be deficient. Such foods such as yeast, liver, and wheat germ are excellent sources of nutrients. Dr. J.R. Davidson, now retired, former associate professor of clinical medicine at the University of Manitoba, says he's got to be passed away. But anyway, I believe cancer, a deficiency disease, can be prevented and controlled by a suitable and balanced diet, high in vitamin content. I do not pretend to be able to benefit patients in whom the disease has reached advanced or terminal stages, because that does not give any treatment a fair chance. In the patients whom I am treating, however, some of whom have suffered from clearly diagnosed cancers of a severe degree, I can claim some improvement in many cases. The diet that I prescribe varied to some extent in each individual. Includes one pint of vegetable juice per day, such as carrot, lettuce, celery, or prepared freshly, plenty of raw vegetables, particularly peas, beans, carrots, spinach, lettuce, supplemented by wheat germ, cooked meat, or meat cooked rare. And concentration of vitamin supplements of all kinds. Anyway, let me see right here. Here's one right here. You ever heard of the Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research? And I'll make this quick right here, and we'll take phone calls. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Folks, and I'm honest with you here, this is not just about cancer. You could say heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, mental illness, no energy, fatigue, exhaustion. Just fill in the blank. All right. At the Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research, four groups of rats were fed rice and butter yellow. Butter yellow, it ain't yellow. It ain't butter, I meant. It's a known dye, colorant, pigment, but it's a known cancer causer. You give a rat butter yellow as a chemical dye, and it's a known cancer producer is what I'm saying. All right, number one. One group was given nothing to protect them against the butter yellow. All the animals develop cancerous livers within 150 days, and you're probably asking, well, Dr. Morgan, what does the word all mean? All of them, every one of them. Not any were spared. All of them developed cancer. Does that tell you what butter yellow can do? Okay, so all the animals develop cancerous livers within 150 days. Brewer's yeast was given to a second group. And I'm quoting the Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research. The results showed that the addition of 15% yeast to unpolished rice. Now, you got to understand nutritional yeast here. That's just nutrients, right? They had the distinct protective effect against the pathologic changes leading to the development of liver cancer. All, you see how I'm emphasizing the word all the rats receiving the yeast examined between 100 and 200 days after beginning the experiment. Well, guess what? They had smooth and practically normal livers, grossly and microscopically. How's that for normal? All they did was add yeast. In the second experiment, desiccated liver was substituted for yeast. Liver in the amount of 10% of the diet was necessary to prevent cancer. And prevent it surely did. Now, when the amount of liver was cut to only 2%, protection against liver cancer did not occur as long as they were consuming the butter yellow dye. Dr. Kenmatsu Segura, who supervised the experiment, that sounds Japanese if you ask me, I'm going to quote the Japanese physician, these dietary influences, the liver and the brewer's yeast, may prove to play a large part in the causation and the prevention and the treatment of human cancer. Anyway, that is all for your consideration this morning. Listen, just let it pour around. Let it roll around in your head for a while and in your heart. Tell me if this seems to make logical sense. Oh, yes, I'm a fan of promoting nutritional supplements that contain liver. Do I really have to be that? No, I don't have to be brilliant. But I sure can choose to believe this research from the Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My name's Linda, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, and my sister gave me some information that y'all on the phones and the radio.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I broke 3 ribs in October. I'm just finishing healing, but I noticed since I broke my ribs, well, I did get pneumonia, but they cleared that up. But I have a lot of mucus. Is that caused from the ribs and the lungs? Is just...
Well, you didn't have a pneumothorax where a rib poked a hole in your lung, did you?
No, it didn't. They didn't say. But, of course, one hospital said I had one broken rib. One said no. Then I had to go to MRI. Now they said I had 3.
Does that just go to prove to you how hard it is to see a broken rib on an X-ray?
I'm telling you, it's how I knew I had a broken rib. Please,
you know,
since the pain was horrible.
Since you, you know, there's one person you're talking to that can sympathize you, because on a Christmas day when there was ice on the ramp, I decided to carry a stepladder to put the star on the top of the Christmas tree. But guess what Roy did? I slipped and fell on the ramp, and I had the benefit of having that ladder jab me right in the rib and break one. That was just great fun on Christmas Day.
I know. I fell off a 3-foot ladder. I'm 75, and when I came down, my husband has this machine that he works with wood, and he built a little area at the bottom to keep the excess little wood, and I fell on it, that big old bar across steel, and that's...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a couple ideas here. And if I'm a little bit wordy, please forgive me. But since you called all the way from New Orleans, I've got to give you good service, right?
Okay. I appreciate it.
The way that doctors used to do this 50 years ago is they would just take a standard tape measure and they'd say to the person, okay, I'm going to put it around your rib cage here, around your chest, blow out all the way, then breathe in as deeply as you can. Anything less than probably 2.5 to 3 inches expansion of the tape measure means you're just not clearing mucus from your lungs. And the purpose of mucus is to help trap and bind waste in your lungs. And so I'm just guessing, because you're favoring your broken ribs, all three of them, mm-hmm. you're just probably not breathing as deeply as what you used to before.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, if you can, if you'll practice more deeply, breathing mm-hmm. deeply, that can do it. Now, there are a couple of techniques that you can try to see if we can't clear this mucus or just clean out your lungs, and they're very, very simple and easy.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two variations. Do you know what a steam kettle is, like you'd put on the stove to heat up
yes,
and make
sir.
Tea or coffee or something?
Yes, sir.
Well, I like those very much, because these I like the kettles that have almost like a jacketed throat to them, where you can like open the whistling part of it, and steam just comes pouring out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you were to stand maybe 18 inches away from the mouth of the kettle, what you would do is just bring it up to a boil where steam is pouring out, and put a towel over your head and start breathing in the steam.
Right.
If you can...
And my mother used to do first. Right.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Your mother used to do this, and you remember watching her, right?
Right, right.
Now, was she sewing on a treadle sewing machine and peeling potatoes at the same time?
Well, she had a pedal sewing machine, believe me. She raised 8 of us. And,
well, there's no way around it. She had to make your own clothes, right?
Right.
Oh, what a great memory. But if you would give yourself a breathing treatment, the only variation that I can make, or that I would make, there is a common household spice called thyme or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E.
Oh, I know what thyme is.
Yeah, there you go. If you put just a small spoonful of that in the water and you breathe it in, it will start scrubbing your lungs clean.
Oh, I will try that.
And there's no one's ever died from that.
I will try, because all day, that's all I do is get up a lot of mucus, and it almost strangles me sometimes.
There is one particular herb called Chinese skullcap. Do you speak Chinese?
No, I don't.
That makes two of us. So, but if you can spell the word Chinese and then skullcap, mm-hmm. what you might do is you might try taking that.
Okay.
And you might see if your lungs start the process of becoming more clear with less mucus. But you're going to, at some point, you've got to be able to expand and contract your lungs a little bit. But just to do deep diaphragm breathing, just bypass the ribs if you can.
Okay.
And I am a huge fan of consuming lemon juice diluted in water, if your body will let you do that.
Okay. It will.
Good. Well, just sip on that, and that will start to break up some of the mucus. And so you can try those things. Probably don't want your husband beating your back to try to clear the lungs.
Oh, I'm telling you, he gets tired of me chuckling, you know. I can't help it. It's got to come up.
Yeah, you have no choice. When those conveyor belts start moving that mucus up,
I'm telling you.
You just got to spit that stuff out. It's horrible.
Okay, I've been on thyroid medicine since I'm 28, and I notice, you know, over the years taking it, that my hair is not as thick as it used to be. It gets brittle, and, you know, I lose a lot of it. You know, it's upsetting to me to see that much hair that's going every time I comb my hair, or even if I, you know, don't comb it that day, the next day it's just as bad. And I'm concerned that, is it the thyroid medicine doing it? And does the thyroid medicine affect your bones?
Oh, yes, ma'am. And you kind of beat me to the punch. If besides taking prednisone or steroids long-term, there's not many things that'll cause your bones to become thinner and weaker, like excessive thyroid medication.
Mm-hmm.
Not if they give you the Goldilocks just right amount, you're much better off. And just in simplicity, you could always, if you wanted to, it's never too late to switch to a natural form of thyroid hormone replacement therapy. And so instead of taking either Synthroid or levothyroxine or thyroxine, so you could always look at something like Naturethroid or Armour Thyroid or WP Thyroid. Yeah, just like capital WP. That's short for White House Properties. I'm joking. No, I don't know what.
Now, where do I get this at?
Well, it's a prescription. It's just as simple as.
Just ask the doctor.
Yeah,
then?
Ask the doctor. Say.
I've been on this medicine since I'm 28.
Well,
all you have to do is
say this phrase right here. I'm going to cough up all my mucus on you unless you change my prescription to Armour. And he'll go, you know what? I am all of a sudden motivated to change your prescription.
I will try asking about this WP.
Yes, ma'am. Well, or the one that he's probably very, or she's probably very familiar with is called Armour.
Armour, okay.
Just like, you put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
So I think that would be easy to do.
Okay, and doesn't thyroid also keep you, I have a terrible time sleeping.
Well, yes, in excessive doses, yes, you can have everything from chronically loose stools or gastrointestinal problems, but one of the other problems is you'll just start getting thinner and thinner and thinner over time if it's too much.
No, I wish that was the case, in a way. That was something.
Be careful what you ask for.
Right, okay.
But yes, it can make it very, very challenging and difficult to fall asleep for a lot of people.
You know, sir, when I sit down, you go to different doctors, new doctors for different things all the time, they'll ask you, okay, tell me some of your symptoms. And every time I tell them about my sleeping habits, they never get back to that.
Kind of brush over that real quick.
Right. And my family knows, I'm 75 now, but I've been like this since I'm in my 30s. If I get 2-3 hours sleep, I'm very lucky.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And then it doesn't slow me up. It seems like I get more energy, you think, but some nights I don't even sleep at all.
Well,
it's only 2 hours.
Well, that's just horrible.
It is. I'd love to know what it is to sleep at least 5 hours.
Well, whatever you do today, I am not telling you to forget to take your thyroid pill for the next 5 days. I didn't say that.
Right.
But if you did forget to take it for 5 days and all of a sudden you slept 4 hours instead of two, you might go, wow, that's exactly a 100% increase in my sleep, and I think I like that. Anyway, so that might be one clue. The other thing that I might, and I'm not going to explain this unless you really have to have me explain it to you, there's an herb called withania, or sometimes it's called ashwagandha.
How could you spell that?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me to do that. let me try to do it right here. Okay. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes, sir, I do.
I just did the short version.
Okay.
W-I-T-H.
Okay.
It's almost like the word with.
Yeah. All right.
And then ania. So A-N-I-A, with ania.
Okay.
W-I-T-H-A-N-I-A, I think.
Okay.
But you might look at that, and the beautiful thing about herbs is they don't act like drugs at all. Nothing of the sort. They're not toxic. They're not poisonous for the most part. They don't send people to the ER.
Right.
But they have such a beautiful targeted action upon the thyroid and the adrenal glands, so you might just try those two things.
Oh, I will. Because
you may develop amnesia for 5 days from your thyroid. I'm just joking. I can't tell you what.
It's my husband will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "Okay, how many hours you slept?" I said, "I'm lucky. I slept 45 minutes."
Oh no, you dear.
And I go all the way to the next night, and it's like 12 o'clock, and then I might sleep to 1:30, and I've been up since 12 o'clock.
Do you know the name Charlie Robertson?
I heard the name.
Well, he used to be a police officer in New Orleans. Okay. One of my most favorite people I have ever had the pleasure of meeting and spending time with. But he's from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
I love New Orleans.
Well.
Raised and born here.
I've only been through New Orleans one time when there was a flood when I was attending a wedding on the upper half, and I had to go down and connect up with I-10 and come across that way.
Oh, gosh. Was that the Katrina?
No, and I don't remember. It wasn't even a hurricane, but there was some. This was probably March 2 years ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Remember all that horrible flooding?
Right.
Yeah, so.
We had another one just recently. I feel bad for the people in New Orleans. I'm outside of New Orleans.
What's the name of
your town? I'm like 17 miles from Canal Street. I'm in a nice ward, a nice ward.
Well, how far are you from Baton Rouge?
My son was in Baton Rouge. I am 71 miles from him.
Because my next-door neighbor is from Baton Rouge, and he used to be a former Air Force fighter pilot. And I tell you what, I could listen to John's stories all the time.
I know. I could tell you something from Katrina, because we had water over the roof, and it was devastating. But we got over it.
Well, by the grace.
And I got caught in Jesse, too, in 65. So I can't. It hits me every one of them.
You know, I don't remember that. I think I was just a couple of years old.
You probably were. I know my son's 52. Yes. And he was a baby at the time.
You know what? I could be your son.
Yes, you could. I really appreciate you helping
me. Welcome.
And I'm going to try this about sleeping. And
You've got nothing to lose by what I've told you.
I asked a doctor about this thyroid. WP.
Well, the three choices you have ARM or thyroid,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Natrethroid, and then you have maybe WP. And
right.
Just look for one that comes from a natural, and they're going to come from an animal source.
Uh-huh.
I hope that does not offend you if it comes from a cow or a sheep.
No, people eat cows meat, don't they?
Yeah, well, the ones that live a long time. Well, but you do eat things like eggs and fish, don't you?
I sure do. I love that.
What's your favorite seafood?
Tell you the truth, I love shrimp, but my crabs is the best.
What kind of crabs are they?
Oh, we have lake crabs. They beautiful, and they are some good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm really tickled for your phone call this morning. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, ma'am.
All right. You too, sir. Thank you.
All right. Just go ahead and get well now.
Oh, I will. I hope so. I want to sleep.
Oh, amen. Let's do it. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. And we'll go ahead and go back to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
I'm sorry. I was dialing my sister. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a second.
Finish talking with
Hi.
Me.
Hi. Hello. It's me, your sister. No, thank
All
you,
right.
ma'am. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I can't really pull off the accent, can I? 903-586-5257. Do you think it's possible that three times in a row she could call me? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hey, I've had three hip replacements.
Only three?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I'm 56. And
oh, you're a kid.
Yeah. And now I go back, so I was experiencing a little pain on my left side, and I was told, well, it looks like you have osteolysis, where my bone is being reabsorbed by my body because of particles and such that the prosthetic is producing.
Yeah.
Is there any way to reverse that or slow it down or anything?
Well, we better start flooding your body with raw cow bones.
Okay, I'm doing raw calcium and vitamin
D. What's the name of it?
I don't know, but it says raw calcium on the glass bottle.
Let me give you a different idea here.
Right.
And of course, I could be right or I could be wrong.
Right.
What you're looking at is you're wanting raw cow bones. There may be a difference between the raw calcium and raw cow bones.
Sure.
And so usually this, if I were to break it down, and I know this is an oversimplification, but if you ask me, okay, what are bones actually composed of? What are they made of? Well, this is not 100%, but it's pretty close. Let's just say they're one-third water, mm-hmm. one-third minerals, and one-third protein. And, of course, yeah. I want to throw some fat in there, but it didn't make sense to say one-third, one-third. I should right. have said 25, 25, 25. Anyway, so that's what they're made of. And so when you get calcium, it comes from an animal source, it's going to be almost perfectly identical to that area where you have the weakness. And so your body has this uncanny ability of sending collagen and material to where there's a weakness or where there's a problem. Okay. And so there is a product called CalciFood. It's the only raw bone supplement that I'm aware of that hasn't been cooked or denatured or changed. Basically, okay. they just take a big stainless steel tank and throw a bunch of ribs and hip bones in there and crush those suckers up and put them in a tablet or a powder. Doesn't okay. that sound delicious today?
Yeah. You bet.
And so the other thing that I thought of just very, very quickly, vitamin D3 is important, but I'm not so sure it's as important as vitamin K2 is
right.
for what you're dealing
yeah.
with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they're supposed to be together. And this last bottle, I didn't read it right, and it doesn't have it.
Oh, well, but you learned something from that. Don't beat yourself up, but at least you know now what you're looking for, right?
Right, right. Okay. And, right, okay. So, okay, and then try to eat well.
There's no way around it. I mean, I can tell you right now, if I wanted to strip the bones from that hip replacement as fast as possible, I'd eat sugar or white flour or drink a Coke.
Okay, I don't drink any caffeine or beverages. I drink water.
Oh, but my goodness, there might be hope for you after all.
But I drink, I eat sugar and homemade bread.
I knew that I would find that you had a very dark secret. You just revealed it to me.
I know.
No, listen, what you want is the prize is very, very high. I don't want you to be disabled or infirmed or limited. You've got to grow bone back. That's the only way
right.
around this. And so I'm going to encourage you to aggressively start an exercise regimen that you can do. You probably avoid exercises on that hip. I understand that. But
yeah,
you need to be doing push-ups.
Hard.
Well, it's got to be sometimes. It's got to be more than sometimes.
Like
and so
push-ups?
Yes, and the reason why I say that, years ago I read a study, and it involved 426 men. It's 400 and something. It might have been 451. It doesn't really matter, does it? But
nope.
to be in the study, you had to have both your legs fractured, either in a car wreck or a freak accident or you fell out of an airplane without the parachute opening up.
Yeah.
Something. I mean, whatever it was, but you had to have both your legs crushed that required you to be bedfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just tried one experiment. Now, this was over a two-year period because they're just looking for the data. But the men that lifted weights with their upper body, and I know you can figure this out. I mean, what are you going to, you can't tell a man to do lunges and squats and deadlifts and cleaning jerks and presses with the legs when they're broken. And so all they did was they had them lift weights with the upper arms and the shoulders, the parts that weren't broken.
Okay.
And guess what they found? 50% improved bone healing and bone remodeling.
Okay.
And
that
so,
sounds good.
Oh, you betcha. There is a substance called ribonucleic acid, or RNA for short. I know you've heard
mm-hmm.
the term DNA because that's what we're made of.
Right.
But you find RNA in sardines.
Oh.
See, man, listen to your voice. Did I detect tremendous enthusiasm for sardines?
My horseshoer eats sardines.
While he's shoeing horses, right?
Yes.
Man, that guy's a stud, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That was a little play on words there, stud, horse. Anyway, so, yes, you've really got to get after exercising your upper body. The other thing
I
that I would
do
if it were me is I would walk barefoot in the backyard every day. I would dig my toes in the ground. I would flex my feet muscles. I would do calf raises. I would do everything I can, except maybe the exercises that put that under the most painful stress that gives you an idea that you might be hurting yourself. I probably wouldn't do that. But outside that, I would set your mind like flint that you're going to become the strongest man of all time.
Okay.
But if you started consuming bone broth every day,
mm-hmm.
Do you have a wife?
Yes.
Do you think that she would be agreeable to making you broth, bone broth, broth-based soup?
From what bone?
Any. You could use relatives' bones. That's a joke.
Yeah,
you know, but,
okay.
Do you know which one? A lady was telling me 2 days ago that her favorite soup is from the carcass or the bones of a turkey at Thanksgiving.
Mm, okay.
So you don't throw it away once you're through with it. You use that to boil it down, or you let it saturate with oil, with the vegetables and maybe a shot of vinegar, and just extract all the collagen, because that area that you're talking about is made of pure collagen.
Okay.
And I think it surprises most of the people I talk to. They kind of feel like that there's going to be an instant fix in one day. That's not the case.
Right.
If you're going to rebuild the bone, you're talking about a couple of years here.
Right. But well, I'm on my third bottle of apple cider vinegar.
Good.
A tablespoon a day.
Good.
So.
But if you put the apple cider vinegar in a pot of water with chicken bones or beef
uh-huh.
bones or other bones.
Right.
I wonder if I could take the bones of a dead possum and make a broth out of it. That doesn't even sound appealing, does it?
No.
I saw this raccoon up in a tree last night, and the dog is barking at it, and this raccoon is on the far end of a branch, and I'm thinking to myself, how can he be supported by that little bee twig that he's on? But he was just a but he once I shined the light on him, he went down the limb, and he crawled all the way straight down the tree without even missing a beat, and I'm going, my goodness, these things are expert climbers.
They are.
Anyway. But it's called broth-based soup, and that's very, very rich in what's called collagen.
Okay.
And collagen is is the protein that your bones are made of. And so when you start flooding your system with collagen, you start getting to the core of the matter. Now, this is just my thought process right here, and I know I'm simplifying it, but if you want to have any new growth, you have got to give your body a reason to grow new bone. And the only way you can do that is by putting stress on it. But
okay,
you've got to
right.
have zinc to produce these growth factors. Zinc.
Okay.
And so look at those things and let me know if you have a huge improvement.
All righty. I will.
Okay.
I walk all day, every day with my job.
What is your job?
I'm a wrangler.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I ride horses, and I had my hips replaced because it hurt to ride so much.
Does it hurt now?
No, it doesn't hurt. But
you're telling me this is what you do for a living. You're like on Bonanza every single day?
Yeah.
Or a High Chaparral?
Yes. I'm either walking or riding.
We should do a reality show on your life, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but I haven't been doing the upper body workout, so I'll start that.
Hey, just jump off the horse. Well, maybe not jump. Get off carefully.
Yeah.
And then you can, rip off 40 push-ups.
If I'd be lucky to do 20.
Hey, well, I tell you what. If you can do 20, that'd be pretty spectacular. I can guarantee you.
I think I can.
Well, how many men do you know of that are 56 years of age and can just jump down and do 20 push-ups?
I don't know. I can do 10 pull-ups.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Then you are one strong dude.
But I don't do that consistently. So,
are you saying 10 pull-ups over the course of a year? Is that what you were trying to say?
No.
I think I know where we're going with this. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right, well, thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate you a whole bunch, buddy.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. We only have 19 seconds left. Make that 18. So... it has been really good to be with you today. I hope everyone listening has a great Thanksgiving. I pray that your families will have safe travels wherever they go. And I pray that the Lord will look upon our country with mercy, because if he does, we have further chance to repent.